And what else are you doing?
I mean, I'm not really thinking about it.
Well, you also actually should start thinking about it.
Yeah.
And all of us should, particularly women. Why?
Because your bones need
to. What do you need? What do your bones need? Calcium. Just make sure you're getting enough calcium. Okay? Like 1,500 milligrams a day, which is a lot. What's the other problem with women? When did they find more osteoporosis?
Menopause.
Postmenopausal, yeah. Okay. There's some kind of estrogen protection, supposedly. Gabby's recording here. We may have to rely on Gabby for this recording today.
Oh, I got my Hello Kitty back.
You got your what?
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It was
all right. Yeah. So yes, calcium's a big deal. All right. And there's some current research, actually, well, recent research has been examining whether taking calcium postmenopausal is any help. And there's some thought it isn't. That it doesn't. Your uptake of calcium pretty much diminishes postmenopausal. All the more reason to get your calcium in when you're young. Okay, there's still some controversy there. The research is really conflicting. Although now the practitioners are leaning towards high dosages of calcium for postmenopausal women as well as all women. Okay, let's see if I can negotiate this thing, which is not cooperating anymore. Okay. Gabby, we're gonna look to you for the recording, all right?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Your friends thank you, particularly the morning class. Skeletal muscular trauma. We have a lovely example of skeletal muscular trauma. Emily, tell us what's going on with your hand.
I sprained my wrist.
How did you sprain your wrist? Do you want to tell us, or is it something like too risky to talk about?
I fell. A clumsy moment.
Okay, so what's a sprain? Tell us what a sprain is. Since we're talking about contusion, sprains, and strains. And I want you to be able to differentiate between the three.
Well, it's like maybe I overstretched my thumb
and
wrist.
Okay. All right.
Well,
it's
my thumb and my wrist.
Okay. So what exactly was damaged? Do you know?
I don't.
Well, yeah, they do, because they're calling it a strain, right?
Well, they said sprain.
They said
sprain. They thought it was broken.
Okay.
I went in for x-rays, not broken.
So it's...
But they were like, well, we don't see anything, so why don't you come back for another x-ray in 10 days if it doesn't get better.
So we don't know if it's a strain.
We really
or a
don't.
Sprain.
They called it a sprain, though.
Okay. We're going to learn about the difference between a sprain and a strain so that Emily can be all up on it when she goes back to the MD. But Emily, I know that you know what a contusion is. Because you're a softball player who certainly has had a contusion in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
It's
a result of being hit by a softball, for instance. Yeah, and what it bruise, big bruise, and there's no, the skin is intact. Okay? It's very common among softball players. My boys, when they play baseball, are full of them. So, and I like to think about a contusion with baseball and softball, because a nice soft ball is not going to break the skin, right? It's going to cause one heck of a bruise if it hits you with them, of course. So that's a contusion. We see them in automobile accidents. People go forward, their chest is awfully contusioned from landing on the steering wheel, okay? All sorts of trauma results in contusions. We're on the ortho floor in Santa Rosa. We're seeing a lot of nice stuff. Regarding skeletal muscular problems. Okay, blunt force, soft tissue. Brilliant, you guys read it right off the slide.
Did we discuss what a strain and a sprain?
We're moving to there right now. A strain, Emily, so when you go and talk to your MD, is an injury that results from a stretching of a muscle or muscle tendon. Now we're talking a muscular problem. Okay, that's a strain. Pain, limited motion, swelling, weakness, you are experiencing all those, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. strain is a little different. Sprain is a little different from a strain. Sprain has to do with a tear or stretch of the ligaments. Okay, notice the only two differences in these words is a T turns into a P. I like to think of the P with this tail here as being a ligament. That reminds me that the sprain is the one dealing with ligaments. Okay? The ligament attaches to something from a muscle. With a sprain, it's a little more severe. We must have people with sprained ankles in here, right? Okay, let's hear about it. Steph, tell us about your sprain.
I used to play soccer, and I twisted my ankle and then got slide tackled right under it. And so I teared three ligaments in my ankle and had to go to physical therapy.
And it was nasty, right?
Yeah, it was swollen. It was ugly.
And how long did it take you to heal?
Fully, at least a couple months, and then I came back on it early and did it again.
Yeah, because you weakened it.
Yeah.
A couple of months is really fast. More like about 6. They take a long, long time to heal, Emily. So let's hope it's just we're hoping for a strain.
I sprained my ankle 5 times.
So what does this feel like? Can you tell? Do you think it's a strain or a sprain?
I think it's a sprain.
You do?
Yeah.
Because you can know the feel. Because the manifestations are so similar that she doesn't have a differential diagnosis yet. Okay, so got it? Did you feel a pop? Any of you guys feel a pop with me?
Yeah.
Really?
You can hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about yours.
I played volleyball and I jumped and landed on a girl's ankle and my ankle twisted and I could feel it pop.
Feel it
pop. Just laying on the ground, held it.
Yeah. And it hurt, right?
It
just hurt lying there,
yeah.
Correct? Yeah. Unlike fractures that we're going to talk about in a minute, yours hurt just, you didn't have to move it, didn't do anything, it just hurt. What's another common part of the body that we see a lot of ligament issues? ACLs, right? Medial and anteriors. Yeah.
When would there not be like rapid swelling, but if there would be like a bump on the yeah, like it
might just
it
be a contusion.
Like the bone, but no, there's no swelling, no.
Maybe a fracture, a bone fracture. I've got one of those right here. Yeah. I don't know if it's a. I don't know if it's a. What do they call them? I used to hit with books, or if it's a bone, I think it might be a bone, a broken bone that didn't heal it and got in a bump. That's not uncommon. Yeah. Okay. So feeling of a pop or a tear, discoloration, pain, swelling is all sprain, common in the ankles, knees. You guys all have ankles problems, right? Okay, joint dislocation. Anybody experienced with that? Joint dislocation? Yeah? We had somebody in the morning class that did that. Trauma or illness forces the ends of the bones from their normal position. Shoulders are really common.
Yeah.
You've got it?
We have a teammate who did it.
Okay, tell us about your teammate.
We were at a softball game. It was actually spring break. And she slid into the base, and the player was in front, so it jammed her shoulder and popped it out. And then she just got an MRI back, and since it popped out, she also tore her labrum and got a fracture.
Yeah. Exactly.
They said if she did it again, which would be really easy, they said she might have to get surgery. So.
Yeah, this is a problem. People who do it once from an injury like this tends to pop out again. I was on this backpacking trip with this doc once, and he came across this person, like had his shoulder was dislocated. And the gentleman I was with just said, you want me to put it back in? And he goes, really, can you? He goes, yeah. And so like, usually they do a lot of anesthesia and muscle relaxants, and then they pop it back in, which is just kind of a way of maneuvering the shoulder.
They give a lot of morphine.
Yeah, and then they pop it back, and usually what they did, but we did it like in the wilderness, and it was not fun for this guy, but popped it back in. So yeah, once it happens, it could easily happen again, and then they do the surgery to tighten up the hole.
Yeah, she's
out
for this.
Is she? Yeah, poor lady. Okay.
Can you pinch nerves when you do that? When you put it back in, can you pinch a nerve, or can you?
No, they didn't. In fact, it was relieved. The pain wasn't as painful once it was back in. The process of putting it in was extremely painful, but once it was there, then the guy was fine.
I heard in high
But that's just what I saw, you know.
In high school, I heard of one of the guys on our baseball team that his shoulder popped out, and when they put it back in, he like they put it in long, so he like tore something.
Oh, I'm sure that's very possible.
And so he kind of had surgery on his
rotator. I'm sure that's true. Luckily, my experience, the only time I've seen it done, we did right. The guy was fine, walked away. Very strange. But normally it is done in the hospital with morphine and like that. But yeah, still, it's not right. And yes, then surgery often follows. Okay, so we're going to reduction by retraction surgery and mobilization. It can happen to the hip, too. Here's some nice nursing diagnoses for you. Risk for injury, that's a good one. You always use pain and you use impaired mobility, but risk for injury is a nice new one. You might want to use. Fractures, now we can talk about fractures. Someone had a broken something, maybe? Both of you. Boy, you guys are great. Tell us your stories. What have you got?
What?
No. Steph wants to go first. What's your story?
I actually was playing soccer again, and
soccer's a tough sport.
My hand snapped back all the way, and I fractured my wrist in a T where it just lined up like that.
So was it?
It hurt like right away. I couldn't even put ice on it because it was just.
Okay, it hurt right away. What helped it?
I don't know. It just hurt. Everything hurt.
Okay. What's your story? Volleyball again?
Yeah. I thought I had shin splints, so I didn't do anything about it, and I think that's why it fractured. And
so your legs?
Yeah, it's in my shin. I still have it.
Wow.
I've had it since my senior year of high school. And I think it was just from the excessive jumping.
Yeah, it is. It's tough.
Yeah.
So you like have microscopic cuts? Or
yeah, it's just like fractured a little bit, and it swells up every time I practice and every time I jump on it.
Really?
And the only thing that honestly helps it is rest.
Yeah, that's a big thing about a fracture, is if you don't move it, it doesn't hurt as much. So, like, if you come across someone who is screaming on a soccer field, say, and you go to move it, and they just go, it's probably a fracture versus a strain or a sprain.
I think it was a fracture. Mine was mostly tendons, but I have, like, a little floating bone in there. But
yeah, that's called a loose body.
Yeah, because I refractured it after, too, and then they just kind of put it in a cast or something.
Yeah, loose bodies are a whole other problem.
Yeah, it's mostly my tendon.
Like, actually, it's tough out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was out playing.
Yeah. Okay, so the deal is, one differential diagnosis is, it's probably a fracture if it really hurts with movement and is relieved by rest, exactly like we said, Courtney. I mean, if you, that's how you're going to heal it, and that's about it, yeah.
I had a jaw fracture like 5 years ago.
How did you get that? Did somebody punch you?
Well, no, I actually had tripped on somebody's foot. And
you don't have boxing.
I know. I tripped on somebody's foot and landed on my chin and my mouth was open. And so when my mouth shut, the jaw like straight up and just cracked a little bit. And I wasn't allowed to like have solid food for 3 months. So I didn't have a liquid diet. Because I was like, they usually sew the jaw shut when, like, it's an actual break. But since it was just a fracture, they just put me on like a liquid diet. And it's awful.
So you all have described closed or simple fractures, correct? Yes, John. Good. I wanted to talk about collarbones. I'm sorry, you broke your collarbone. But a very common fracture. Now, what did they do for you?
Well, they replaced it, and then I was in the school.
Wait. They replaced it, like took the whole bone out?
Replaced it, I mean, realigned it. And then, like, now I was in the school for 2 months.
Yeah, and that's about it. Now, that's about it for collarbones. Collarbones are extremely common. Surfers, a lot, because of the head. And football players, it's the most common bone broken in childhood. The collarbone. We had a whole winter, I swear, where my son's, Jen Kelly, of course, has broken his collarbone several times along with his nose. But even Patrick, the musician, broke his collarbone. We got so we didn't even go to the ER. I mean, that's fine. If you can feel it and it's in place, it's cool. All right, so we've all been talking about closed, simple fractures. Luckily, what's a compound fracture? Or open, what? Yeah, open. When the bone sticks under the skin, right? Yeah. So when the bone snaps and protrudes and comes out. Are complete or incomplete? Courtney, right? Had a lovely example of incomplete fracture, right? Because, is that right?
It's
Jessica.
Jessica.
Oh, Jessica. Do that. It's you and Gabby and Naomi. Jessica had a lovely example of an incomplete fracture with her shin splint like thing. Not all the way through, okay, just kind of a something going on, not a complete break. Stable or stable, which is non-displaced, which is what you've all described. What's an unstable or displaced fracture? Can you guess? Sometimes when the clavicle breaks, John, it's such a thin bone that it goes like this. Okay? Or the femur can. Alright, it breaks and then goes like that. It's not all lined up. It's displaced. Okay? And what about an oblique or spiral? What? Have any idea what that could be? Around. How would you get that?
Like twisting
Indian burns, right? We used to call them those. Okay. Common in child abuse cases. Okay? That kind of thing. So you see those? It's kind of what it can be. That's bothered. There's also green stick fracture, which is another one that we see in children who are abused. All right. Here's some other words you will use, you will see used to describe fractures. These are the ones I want you to know. Okay? These are the ones you will see. But since this is an orthopedic class, we'll just kind of. So immobilize a fracture, yeah, that's going to stop the pain, generally, stop the excruciating pain. Maintain tissue perfusion, why is that so important? You don't want them to, it has to maintain oxygenation, right? For sure, and we want to prevent infection. Analgesics, antibiotics, anticoagulants, stool softeners, because they're not moving around. And acids, again, for GERD. Surgery, sometimes we do external fixation or we do casts. When we're going to fix a bone, we're going to immobilize it, aren't we? We're going to make it still so that it can heal. How can we do that with a skull fracture? So we have this partial skull fracture. You're going to cast the head?
Yeah.
Huh? What would you do with the head? Helmets? Well, that's still not going to happen. How do you keep that bone together? Called external fixation. Exactly. Have you seen halos? Literally screws. Screwed into the skull with a big piece of metal going around. And it keeps it intact, right? External fixation is not limited to the head. I saw a beautiful example of it once in the pelvis. A very bad motorcycle accident. He had four pins right here with two bars. Simple. See it on wrists? Yeah.
My last patient had external.
Did, where was it?
On her ankle, she just like her whole ankle was just.
Yeah, sometimes when they're just like crushed a mess.
So it was just you could see the bars sticking or the rods sticking out of her skin,
right.
And then she had like a splint.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Depending on where it is, it's going to vary. But yeah, our job is really just to keep them out of pain and clean the pins. And sometimes they walk around with halos for 6 months until the bone heals. Because sometimes it takes a while. ORIF. Remember that, those of you who were in Santa Rosa, remember the first patient who had this clavicular fracture? Who was it? Was there? Yeah, you too, remember? Can you tell us about his, and then the piece that they put in, that's an ORIF.
I remember, yeah, and he had fractured his clavicle and also a bunch of ribs. I just remember he was in a ton of pain. And I listened, I could hear the cracking of the ribs.
The ribs. I particularly want to talk about his clavicle.
I
you don't remember? He had this ORIF before, which is a piece of metal they put in to secure two pieces of bone together. Mm-hmm. Okay, and remember his broke just anterior to the old piece of metal that was in there, and so they had to put a new longer piece in, which was a perfect example of that kind of surgery. So we put in metal to support bone, like in this case, to hold it all together. All right. There's electrical bone stimulation that's supposed to help fractures that aren't healing. My son James Kelly broke his wrist a couple years ago. Of course, he had to compete, so he was constantly racing on the broken wrist, and he was doing all sorts of weird electronic stimulation and everything. But it doesn't seem to stop. Okay, so educate, right? Exercise program is going to strengthen bones, period, no matter what. Sometimes, though, you can get your muscles so strong that they can actually cause bones to break if you're a hardcore athlete. But in general, for the normal populace, regular exercise, if your muscles are strong, they can support the bones. Why do we want to avoid obesity? That much more weight is pressure on the bones, right? And we talked about calcium, correct? Here's some more nice ideas for nursing diagnoses. We're sick of acute pain. But risk for peripheral neurovascular dysfunction, isn't that a nice one? Ooh. Yeah, good. Yeah. We're tired of infection, we're tired of mobility, but this is a nice new one, isn't it? I think about that. Causes of repetitive use injuries. Repetitive use injuries. People have trouble with their hands, right, from doing the same thing over and over and over, pronating, forearm, it's kind of kneeling, okay? Raising arms overhead can all cause different kinds of repetitive use injuries, such as carpal tunnel syndrome, okay? That's the medial nerve wrist, yeah, typing, right? And how do we test for it? Tendon side like this, remember? Do you know that assessment? Assist, no? Yeah, like this. Yeah. Maybe you start like this. Yeah, tendon sign. Also, just tapping with medial nerve pain was is positive. Tendon. Inflammation of synovial fluid by the compressed median nerve. Very common. People have splints on. Basic immobility helps. Numbness, tingling, pain. You see it a lot. What about bursitis? Anybody have a patient with bursitis or any experience with that? See it as people tend to age. Shoulder, hip, knee. The friction between the bursa and the surrounding tissue as the joint wears. Compartmental syndrome. I want to talk about this because it's a common complication from surgery. It's pressure from edema or hemorrhage. So let's say you have some internal hemorrhage from some surgery. It forms like a internal bruise that's like walled off and it puts pressure on nerves. It can be really bad because it can also put pressure on the vascular system and lead to an area becoming necrotic. Okay? So it can lead to limb loss such as early pain. Okay? Maybe you get cystinosis paralysis. You see this in a cast sometimes. There's pressure coming from a cast. I'm not going to talk about Volkmann's contraction. You know about deep vein thrombosis, right? Yep, you know all about that. Don't need to talk about that. Okay. About infection. The bones can be infected. Osteomyelitis. You can even have infection in the bone that leads to gangrene. Two sources of infection in the bone, right? You can get them from actually a broken bone that the infection can get into. You also can have a systemic infection that can travel into the bone, which is kind of interesting. All right, let's see, blade union, right, nope. Traction, let's talk about traction. So when would you use traction on a fracture? Any ideas? What happens if you fracture the bones like this? It's very difficult if it's a clavicle. That's why they put in those bars. O, R, like that. But if it's a leg, say if it's femur, you can actually pull the bone apart. So our patients are lying there with weights, pulling, stretching the bone apart. There's some nice photos in your arm, schematics in your hands. Nursing interventions for tractions. What's the one thing nurses have to be aware about with casts? The most important thing. What?
Make sure they're not too tight.
Why?
Because
you can
stop
blood flow. Exactly, circulation. It's always why you're going to see toes and fingers, see if you check circulation. Especially with a trauma, this is important because you put on the cast and then there may be more swelling, right? So constantly monitor. Please, one of your assessments you want to add and be very careful with casts. What else? Fixation device, we talked a little bit about that. Okay, those. Okay. Talked about this. Squeeze in place. Amputation. I know some of you worked with a new amputee, but didn't get a chance to do stump care. It's just be careful with stumps by keeping a compression garment on. Hopefully leave some time for air exposure and massage. We don't, especially if they have a prosthesis, which is very common. We want to have time to let air circulate. We don't want bacteria to grow in that area. We want to keep it real clean. Hopefully you'll have the opportunity at some point in your career here to work with an amputee. Just a second, we just have a few more minutes at 5. Talk about skeletal muscular disorders. What's gout? What is it? Do you have any experience with gout? Tell us about your dad.
It's really painful. Swelling.
Does it constant?
No, when he eats red meat, that's
the only one. Build up of uric acid crystals, okay? That's the problem. There's periods of exacerbation, as Emily said, depending on what they eat. Common in middle-aged white men. Anybody else can get it, but I think that's the most common population. And then balance between production and excretion of uric acid. Kidney stones, osteomyelitis. Mineralization of the bone matrix. This is, leads to a softening of the bone and deformities. You see these in children who are malnourished. If you go to Uganda and your missionary work, you may see this. Vitamin calcium deficiency, vitamin D, phosphorus. Muscular dystrophy. Anybody know anybody with muscular dystrophy? It's actually a group of inherited diseases where the muscle progressively degenerates. All right, so this is a disease where the muscle is breaking down. Duchenne's muscular dystrophy is the most common form. It's a recessive single gene defect on the X chromosome. So is there a cure for it? No. Generally, people die by late teens or early adulthood. Again, we're seeing people living longer with these kinds of diseases. And remember, there are different kinds of muscular dystrophy. One of your colleagues from this morning was explaining about his patient who was an adult and was still alive, although he was a quadriplegic. Muscle weakness, difficulty with amputation, of course. Cardiac, endocrine, and mental function abnormalities sometimes. Don't assume that it's going to be mental disability. Sometimes there isn't for quite a while. Generally, cardiac is a cause of death. Self-care deficit is a lovely nursing diagnosis. What about lupus? Anything about lupus? It's autoimmune. It affects all body systems. Very, really ranges in the presentation. It's genetic as well. Okay. The antibodies fight against normal body components. So it makes it an autoimmune disease. And the problem is antibodies bind with targeted tissue and you get deposits in the connective tissue of the blood, lymphatics, and other tissues. You commonly see a red butterfly rash on the face. Muscle pain, fever. Not contagious, it doesn't go away, it's autoimmune. This is medication, yeah, we avoid sun. It's impaired skin integrity, that's a good one. Ineffective protection, that's great. Readiness for self-care management, all sorts of nice nursing diagnoses when they do. osteomyelitis, we talked a little bit about that, how a wound can become infected, right? Okay, from penetrating wound can be bacteremia. What else? Talked about osteomyelitis. Fibromyalgia. Heard about that lately? Seems to be a lot of fibromyalgia. It's a muscular problem, pain, tenderness. Disordered central pain that progresses, supposedly. Okay? I'm not too sure what causes it. Middle-aged women tend to come down with it. Our nursing care is supported and educational. Now you remember kyphosis, right? Right, kyphosis, right? Versus lordosis. Who commonly does this?
Pregnant
women, right? Because they're counterbalancing and fat old men. So you get this? Kyphosis, lordosis, what's scoliosis? Lateral deformity. Okay, you remember. Okay. Kyphosis, low back pain. Please take care of your backs. Remember, for ladies, our thighs are really, really strong. Lift with your thighs. Gentlemen, you have a lot of upper body strength, but don't bend like this. Bend like this, okay? All right? And we're going to definitely use our thighs when we're lifting. You guys might be able to go like this, but you're not. Don't bend, please. No bending for any of us. Because I tell you, one even mild back injury can affect your whole life and your practice forever. Yes?
And so now, like, back
injury,
it'll come on and off.
And it's awful, right? Yeah. So don't do it. Nurses are fine for that. Thank you very much. I'm going to go put up the keys. Okay?
Oh. Are we
training? Are we what? Yeah, give me those. And would you like to give me the question, the answer question to last time?
I'm going to get so excited.